your tradition. For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles his father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So, for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites. When did Isaiah the prophet prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Sends the readings.
In vain they do worship me. Empty, useless. You are wasting your time worshiping me. It's not an easy thing to hear, but it is the reality of the challenge that Jesus gave the Pharisees. It's where Paul, at the time Saul, was walking. Your worship is vain. It is empty. It doesn't produce any power, change, or even touch my heart any longer. Keep your sacrifices. Keep all that stuff because it's of no value in our relationship, because our relationship is no longer real. And so the call out that Jesus is trying to do to these scribes and Pharisees is, in vain you do worship me, because you're honoring the precepts that men have established, that you have established, the formulas for your Sunday mornings, the formulas of how you behave in church, the formulas of how and what you're going to do and not do, who you're going to talk to and not talk to. You have got it so formulated that to break into that, you know, I have to do what we were doing today, and you may love me, you may hate me, and never see you again. I don't know. But you do understand it is not easy to take an old skin and pour new wine in it any more than Jesus could pour new wine into the heart of these men who were the scribes and the Pharisees. They had a preconceived notion of what everything should be like, how the music should be played, how we should pray, who should do the talking, where I should sit, how many people I have to talk to, how long the church service should go, and everything else. We got that old stereotype, and I heard it again this weekend because there were a lot of pastors at this conference. And the joke was, Pastor, that was 15 minutes, 16, 17, 18, you know. Right? And you go, do people still do that? Yeah. And you understand there is this preconceived hypocritical notion, but don't look outside. Don't look anywhere else except to go, do you know how hard it is to be a pastor in some ways? It's hard because, you know, I may go home and have none of you come back to church next Sunday. Pastor Harmon is a creep. He made me so uncomfortable and I didn't get any candy. All right? You understand, you just don't understand how difficult, and then to deal with it emotionally, like losing a friend, someone I love, somebody I care about, somebody that I've invested in or has been invested in me, somebody whose kids I watch grow up, and all the rest of the stuff. And I go, that's not easy, but the challenge in front of us is still, God isn't calling me to be friendly. In one sense, he's calling me to be obedient, the same way he calls you to be obedient. He doesn't call you to be comfortable. He calls you to be uncomfortable if that's part of the process that you now sat and talked to and prayed to somebody new than you ever prayed to before and with before. You have begun that process and you go, I can feel that stretching. I can feel like I talked to somebody new. Kids, all of you got a candy bar, whether you're this old. You got to find that person. Tell them thank you and shake their hand and talk to them for a whole minute. I just added that. Good thing it wasn't 2 minutes. It's just one. And you won't get out the door. You understand? You go, you can't expect that from me. Why? I'm uncomfortable. I'm glad I'm not sitting where you're sitting. It really is hard to do this. I really don't care. I don't mean that meanly. I mean, how are we going to break down the walls? How are we going to start being real with each other? How do you get beyond hi, hello, good sermon, bad sermon, I got to go, what's for lunch? How do we get beyond that until we see and feel and carry and walk with people the way God wants us to walk. Like I told you, God saw Saul and he slammed into him because there was no change going to take place in that man's heart. And until he was blind and fully dependent and broken down and knocked off his donkey or horse, whatever he was riding, he was not on the ground having nothing and being able to see nothing. And the voice from heaven is, why are you persecuting me? Why are you walking in the wrong direction but considering yourself righteous? What has caused you to be so blinded spiritually? Now you have it physically. And it was in that moment that Saul is changed, and the process of what eventually took place over the next few days began to take root in Saul's life. That's how dramatic the shift has to be. That's why sometimes it's that old proverbial knock you to the ground, and when you're totally gone and you got nothing left to hang on to, God can finally talk to you. The miracle, of course, is if we can learn it before he has to take our legs out from under us. Can you learn that he has something more to give you? Can you try and understand that you cannot keep behaving the same way because it's going to produce the same results? It's not going to change your heart or the heart of your family or anything else. We are going to lose children because we don't have five adults doing everything they possibly can, including giving them candy when the pastor gives it to you, of grabbing hold of them. Well, I never realized that was my responsibility. Neither did I. But if that's what this book called Sticky Faith really teaches us, I'm going to guess maybe we ought to do it. Not because it's a book, but because we don't want to lose people. How badly do you not want to lose the kids that you see? How badly do you want to make sure they stick, they grow, they mature? How badly did you wish for that very thing into your kids' lives? You understand? God's calling us. That's that call. It's not the same. It's new every morning. I was working through some really difficult things, and I just remember that verse that God's grace is new every morning. And I go, yeah, but Lord, this is an old pain. He says, that's right. My grace is new every morning. He said, you want to hang on to that? I'll love you. Why do you want to hang on to it? And you have to grow into the man and woman that God is calling you to. So here in this verse that we pick up out of Matthew 15, the very nature of the process going here, these people honor me with their lips. There's nothing happening in their hearts. It's not changing. If you've lipped a song, when was the last time it changed your heart? If you've lipped through a Bible reading, when was the last time it changed your heart? If you've lipped through some other things, oh, the pastor's going to make us pray. Okay, fine. I hope he doesn't make us do this next Sunday because I don't know if I'm... That, you know, when was the last time it changed us? Because that's the challenge here. He says, you guys don't get it, do you? And you got to understand how deaf and blind and foolish and selfish and arrogant and prideful these hypocritical preachers, leaders, people were around Jesus and his spirit. You hypocrite. You talk like you're committed. You talk like you're interested. You talk like it matters. But it doesn't matter. Nothing changes. Your lips are spitting it out there, but your hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain because they worship following the teachings that have been generated by themselves. This is what I'm expected to do in church. This is how I have to behave. This is the way I need to live. Don't forget, I'll give you the $100 if you all go out for lunch. I won't quite pay for you all, but John said he'd help me. I did give you two pieces of candy. But you understand, I never thought about that. I haven't behaved like that. You understand? I think God is calling you and me into this point where he doesn't want to have to knock us off the horse, but guess what? He will. You aren't down low enough? No problem. I'll knock you down lower. You haven't got it yet? No problem. I'll rip another part out from underneath you. When your face is in the mud and you're laying on the ground and you got nowhere to look but up, maybe then you'll finally understand how much I care about you and how I will not let you continue down this path any longer. It is time to stop. It is time to say, Lord, Lord. It is time to say the very thing that Saul had to come up with and say, oh, Lord, change my name. My name is walk in and not talk to anybody. My name is go sit only by the people I'm comfortable sitting with. My name is I don't want to find out what other people's problems are. I have enough problems of my own. My name is I don't want anybody to ask me for anything because I'm too busy with my own stuff. My name is I want church to serve me. I don't want to serve it. Whatever your name is, right? We're not just talking about the name you've been given by mom and dad. We're talking about the labels and the name that you live with every day. I can't change any of that. That's the way I am. That's the kind of music I like. That's the kind of music I don't like. That was good. That was no good. All those things that we have, I go, stop it. You know, God just grabs you, throws you off the horse and says, are you listening to me yet? And it's not anger. It's not bitterness. We all go, thank you, God, for stopping Saul in his tracks. Thank you, God, for getting his attention. Thank you, God, that you didn't let him continue down that same path. Why? Because God had a new calling, a different purpose. God, Saul just understood it. Paul just understood it. He goes, I can't believe how much I missed until God stopped me in my tracks. What's the new name God wants to give you today? You have an objective. Go to lunch together. Maybe it won't work. I just threw it out there. I hope you don't really. You know. I'm playing the odds. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I got 9 there. All right. That's almost enough for a lunch if you don't go too fancy. I hope I got that in my pocket, too. I'll give you the credit card. Can we all sit in the front? I know. We'll get you up front here yet. You understand? I go, God is so excited by you. He is so pleased and in love with what he wants to do for your life. God wasn't mad at Saul when he kicked him off his horse. He said, what are you doing? You're killing yourself. You're going to die in your sin. You're walking down an insane and foolish path. You don't even get it. You're missing the whole point. Here I am. It's me. I'm the Lord. I have come for you, and you're missing the whole thing, Saul. I can't let you keep missing it. You have been taught and think a certain way, and you don't want to change because it would require whatever that call is. And God goes, I'm coming, Saul. I will do what is necessary to do because you can't stay in the path that you're in. God loves you. God is committed to your well-being. God is brilliant. He hasn't even begun to open your eyes to what he wants you to do. I challenge you, if you walk into school a certain door, walk in a new door. If you only talk to some people, talk to a new person. Begin asking God, what do you want me to see today? Who do you want me to talk to? What's the book that you hear some of us talking about? One-on-one with Jesus, this kind of lesson. Can you just slow down? God, you got something planned for me today? One of the testimonies in the book is a guy who was too busy. He didn't want to talk to the Lord. He didn't want to open in prayer and be alone with the Lord. And finally, the Lord says, I want to talk to you. He just felt it in the spirit. He went back. He sat back down. He said, Lord, what do you want? He said, before you go into your important meeting today, I want you to go explain and talk to the big boss. God, all right. So the testimony goes, I went in. I took my proposal to the big boss, and the big boss, I said, is there anything you want me to know about this or anything I should rearrange a little bit? The boss told him exactly what he thought should be done. He went back, worked on it for 3 hours before the presentation, and in the presentation, he presented it, and the people that were there were kind of objecting to it. The boss happens to walk by and says, I love it. It's a go. And he goes, Lord, do you really care about the petty things like my proposal for my boss? And the answer comes back, yes. Why would I not care? It matters to you, and I love you. And if I'm smart enough to save the world or stop a guy like Saul in his tracks and turn him into a recovering growing up, maturing, God-fearing man like Paul, what do you think I want to do in your life? I want to take you places and have you talk to people and see things that you have never seen, tasted, or experienced before. And so the challenge that sits in front of us today is I don't want people that honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I want all of you, pray with me if you would. Lord, move upon us. Make us uncomfortable until we're comfortable in a new thing. Create in us, Lord, that new heart, and allow, Lord, your righteousness to flow in us in every way. Come and bless the people here and minister to them. I'm going to ask you, Lord, to just watch over the needs and just let your spirit be in this time. If you've got something you want to pray about, I'm just going to have you shout it. You got to shout it so people can hear. Just bring it up or move to the center aisle. I'll walk with the mic if I have to, but just whatever the Lord gives you to pray about, go ahead.
Jesus, I pray for the children.
Yes, Jesus.
In this world, for the children of this nation, that we don't know about, that we don't hear about, that we don't see, that are locked away against their will. That are being abused, tortured.
Thank you, Jesus.
And killed.
Thank you, Lord.
Set them free, Lord. Wake us up. Help us all realize this is something we need to pray about. Set them free. Send your angels, break the locks, kick the doors down, and set them free.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Turn it up a notch, Jesus. Help us. Help us to help you turn it up a notch.
Father, I ask that you be with my mom right now, and I ask that you would just give her a peace that she just knows that you are with her, that even though she's not here with us, that you are there with her, and that we can also fellowship with her through you, Lord. And I just ask that you just comfort her, give her strength, and give her a peace, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Send your spirit, O Lord. Till everything inside of us that needs to be touched has been lifted and liberated by your will and your truth. And then help us to walk in this world with integrity and great joy. Challenge us, encourage us, make us bold. Teach us how to be lovers of you and lovers of people, even when they're not easy to love. Come and be here in our day. Guide our time. In all things, Lord, we pray this in your name. God's people say, amen. Amen. We rise for the closing prayer and the benediction, if you would. Now may the Lord bless you, keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.